NASA had mentioned that they were actually going to televise an audio broadcast with the astronauts as they were in lunar orbit. All they had to decide was, what would William Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman say to the world who was going to be watching them? And so everybody was waiting for that moment. Everybody was tuning in on their sets to see these white and black grainy images back in 1968. And let me just show you what NASA broadcast that day from lunar orbit with those three astronauts. Let's go ahead and roll that tape. Estimated that over a quarter of the world population at the time, somewhere around 1 billion people, watched that footage live as NASA was broadcasting. And as you just heard, they decided, that astronauts did, to quote the first 10 verses of the Bible that begin with these words: "In the beginning, God." You know, I think it's hard maybe to float around in space and around the moon without thinking about God. Taking in all those scenes of just the earth hanging on nothing and not thinking about God who hung it all there. And when I turn our attention to the scenes of Christmas and what happened 2,000 years ago, I would like to think it's really hard to think about Christmas without thinking about God. God decided to have 2 feet and 2 hands with tiny little fingers. And a little face, a baby face, that no one can resist. It really was an epic, epic moment in time. If we're careful enough just to see for a moment what happened then, at that Christmas, we might just take in a wider angle perspective of what God was trying to do. Help us to gain some perspective. I'm going to use a text of scripture that sounds very similar to what those astronauts read from lunar orbit. It's John chapter 1, it's verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So John starts writing his gospel, and what he wants you to think about is he wants you to rewind all the way back to the beginning of the world, because in the beginning, God. The New Testament about Jesus is a new beginning. In the beginning was the Word. You see, Christmas didn't just start in the stable with Mary and Joseph. It starts in the mind of God before the dawn of time, when there was just God and this one identified as the Word, and they were together in the beginning, and these two are showing an interest in the world at the very beginning. Not just at Christmas, but all the way back in eternity. I'd like to show you three things about the Christ, who here is identified as the Word, who was in the beginning. So, who is this Word? Who is this Christ? Who is this Son who was born? I want you to think, first of all, about His existence in the beginning. His existence in the beginning. Jesus did not start in Mary's womb. He is the pre-existent Son of God. And here He's identified as the Word. Isn't that an odd thing? The Word is kind of a bland word. This is getting already semantically confusing. So what does your words from your lips reveal what you're thinking? And when God spoke, He reveals His thinking, and His thinking is revealed in His Son, the second member of the Trinity, the one we call the Son of God, or Jesus Christ. The point I'm trying to make here is that Jesus wasn't an afterthought. Jesus was always part of God's thoughts and part of His plan for this world. Christ of Christmas, then, was long before Christmas ever came to be. Long before there was ever a baby. So the Virgin Mary was only a vehicle through which the Eternal Son became visible to humanity. The one who created the worlds. Verse number 3 of our text says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Creator became part of the world He created. Most of you have been through Christmases. Probably more than you'd like to count. Christmas may not be that epic anymore for you. Not, certainly not the way it was when you were 6 or 7. But if you could give God's perspective, if you could just hang up in space for a moment and look down on earth, the Creator penetrated creation to live among His creatures. Apollo astronauts were able to reach the moon, not just in orbit, but actually to walk there. But no man can ever fly a spaceship and reach God, so God had to come down and reach us. He stepped out of eternity. He stepped into time. You know, the Bible places Christmas in a historical setting. There is the first century. There's Mary and Joseph. And there are real towns called Nazareth and Bethlehem and a stable and a manger. But Christmas doesn't start there. It goes back to the beginning of time. It's not just folklore. It's not just a sweet little Jesus boy that we're talking about. No, Christmas is the God of eternity penetrating time. The God of all creation becoming a child. The God who spoke the worlds into existence, speaking in the most clear way He's ever spoken through His Son. So wise are we to pause. Wise are we to think about what God did when He went to all that trouble so that we could see what the Maker of the world was really like. There would be no Christ, Christmas, had not Christ come for you. Who is the Christ of Christmas? Well, He's the one who existed before the worlds began. Secondly, I want you to consider His entrance into the world. Our text in John also says in verse 10, he was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. Who is the he in this verse? We're 10 verses after verse number 1, but we're talking about the same person, and we know that because of the second phrase or clause. The world was made by him. That goes back to verse number 3 and tells us that we're still talking about the Son of God, the Word that God spoke into this world. Now, most of you probably accept that. Most of you have been to church. You've celebrated Christmas. You sing the carols. You get this. But I want you just for a moment to pause and ask, how did he do that? How did a creator become a creature? It just doesn't go to, that doesn't happen. And it isn't just Jesus kind of throwing on a quick disguise and showing up here for 33 years. I mean, he actually went through the whole thing, right? He became formed with skin and bones in Mary's womb, and he's born just like you and me as an infant, helpless and naked, just like we came into the world. How did this happen? Well, there's some mystery here. How do you explain something that the science books can't tell you about and the history books can't explain? And even the Bible doesn't fill in all the gaps. We only get this in verse number 14, when the Word, same person we're talking about, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We call this the incarnation. John Piper writes, you can read every fairy tale, every mystery thriller, every ghost story that was ever written, and you will never find anything so shocking, so strange, so weird, so spellbinding as the story of the incarnation of the Son of God. So the God of eternity took on human skin and bones as he was formed in Mary's womb. He was born the same way as all the rest of us. We marvel at Jesus' birth, and we should. It's a unique birth, but it was just like your birth. That's how he entered the world. Let's say you wanted to run for public office. And by the way, I'm not recommending that based on what's happening. Don't recommend running for public office. I'm just giving an example. All right? To what extent would you be willing to go to get your name out and to get some votes? You might hold a rally and hope people show up. You might print up some signs and post them in public places or at intersections so people could see your name. You might try to advertise on the radio or TV and get your name out. That's going to be expensive. You might even visit people at their homes or in public places or squares to garner some more support. And all this, what? To win a few votes with the hope of getting more than your competitors. But let's twist this around for a moment and think about God. To God, to get your attention, you know what he did? He came and lived among you. He walked where we walk. He talked to us, and he felt our hurts and our sorrows in real time, in real life, just like you go through. And you'd think that if he went to all that trouble, he'd get some votes. Right? I mean, he really went out of his way to come after you. And you'd think people would punch his ticket. But actually, the verse I just read about his entrance in the world says just the opposite. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. They didn't even know his name. How are they going to punch the ticket? Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. God went to a lot of trouble to enter the world. And the result is a vast majority of the world didn't even care. And on this Christmas weekend, the majority of the world still doesn't care about this Christmas candidate. Many hardly notice it, the one about whom we sing. But But I remind you, this someone went to a lot of trouble for you. Have you voted for him? For you to be home for the holidays, this someone had to leave his home. For you to have an excuse to trade gifts, someone had to give himself. For you to experience peace and goodwill, this someone had to forfeit his own peace and goodwill. And it's when you begin to see Christmas this way, from a new perspective, from God's perspective, that the magnitude of Christmas begins to settle down upon you, and you realize what a grand thing it is that God has done. There would be no Christmas had not Christ come for you. What are we supposed to learn about this Christ at Christmas? Well, he existed in the beginning, and he entered into time. But finally, I want you to notice, John wants us to see his mission for all men. His mission for all men. We find it in verse 12. It's on the screen. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's not leave the ladies out here. The word sons is generic and means children, both male and female. He gave us the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. This word, the second person of the Trinity, this Christ that we've been talking about, tells us that his mission when he came was to be able to make us the sons of God. Think about that. There's a little bit of irony here. Here we have a son being born so that we could be sons born into his family. Did you get it? That's his mission. That's why he came. Notice the word in this verse, receive. That's an important way, a word, because that word tells us the way into the family of God is receiving. So many people think, you know what I have to do to get in? It's too much and I'm not going to do it. They're going to make me give money. They're going to make me join a church. They're going to make me do something I don't like. They're going to pin me down and make me pray. I don't know how to pray. We get nervous because we think we've got to do something to get God to like us. And this verse just says, receive what God has already sent to you. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. This moves Christmas from just being about a babe lying in a manger to a cross where a Savior hung and died for us to restore the family relationship that has been broken by our sin. You don't have to be the most wicked sinner in the world to be in conflict with the Heavenly Father. If you've ever told a lie or taken something that didn't belong to you, said a cross word, or entertained an angry thought, then you have offended a God who expects us to live righteously and godly in this present world. But God became a son in order to make you a son or daughter of God forever. He is the means. This babe in a manger who became your Savior is the way into the family of God forever and ever. Sadly, Christmas rolls around year after year. People nod at the manger. Some reluctantly sing the carols. But they rarely receive the one who came. Many still have not received him. And unless we receive him, we have no right to the family inheritance. Would you stay with me? Let's think about an inheritance for just a moment. Have you ever received an inheritance? Usually, to qualify for an inheritance, you've got to belong to the family. You might want to get chimichanga with Uncle So-and-so and might want to pass yourself off as a family member, but unless you can prove it, you don't have any right to the estate. You have to belong to the family to qualify. And here's the Creator of the universe saying to us, I have an inheritance and I'm willing to share it with you, but to qualify, you've got to be in the family. So I'm asking you, are you in the family? Well, what kind of inheritance is he offering? Glad you asked. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible. That is, it can't tarnish or get old like things on earth, like a 57 Chevy or something. It's undefiled. It does not fade away. It doesn't pass with time. It doesn't move up and down like the stock market. What is it? It's reserved in heaven for you. Inheritance is a reservation in God's presence in his house forever and ever, but only if you're part of the family and qualified. So, my question for you, and I'm almost through, do you qualify for the inheritance? Are you a part of his family? God sent down a very precious gift, his best gift at Christmas. And some people go on looking away. Don't you know? Don't you want to know that you qualify for this inheritance? To do so, you must be part of the family. Well, how do you become part of this family to get in? Glad you asked. The verse that we just shared from John 1 verse 12 says, to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. The way you receive is by believing in the name of Jesus. What does believe mean? It means to take God's word as true. It is to accept the facts. It is to plant yourself on what is true. What is true? I told you some true things today. I told you that God made the world. Number two, that God entered the world through his Son, and that God sent that Son to save the world. These are truths. If you believe them to be true, you will receive Jesus and become a part of the family of God. So receiving is believing, and believing makes you part of the family of God. Let me encourage you today, make this the most epic Christmas ever. I mean, let's just tick it up a notch higher than ever. Far superior to any magical Christmas you've ever experienced. And how do you do that? By receiving Jesus so you can be part of the family of God forever. Christmas is huge. It is and remains the biggest holiday in America. And the second biggest holiday in the Christian calendar behind Easter. On purpose. Because God came out of eternity on purpose. On a mission. A manhunt, if you will. To find you and me and bring us into his family forever. There would be no Christmas had this Christ not come. And he came for you. The mission commander of Apollo 8 that I mentioned earlier was Frank Borman. Incidentally, he just passed away this fall, and he grew up right here in Tucson. Before joining the Air Force and becoming a fighter pilot, eventually then a test pilot, and then eventually a NASA astronaut on Apollo 8. Just 5 years ago, in 2018, Borman was interviewed on the 50th anniversary of this mission. And Borman said about that mission, it changed not only my life, but the lives of my family. All of a sudden, from a test pilot and a fighter pilot, one of thousands, all of a sudden we were one of a few people, I think only 24, if I'm not mistaken, have been to the moon. One of a few people that had been to the moon. So there was a dramatic change. This Christmas, don't be one of the thousands who just celebrate. Be one of the few who who receive the Christ who came for you. Shall we pause for prayer?